Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for Ash Wednesday comes from our epistle reading of 2 Corinthians. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Thus far the text. Paul isn't the type to pull any punches, kind of like a tired and angry parent who has sacrificed everything that he has for his children. Paul lays it all out there bare, how he and others like him have endured on behalf of the Corinthians. Just listen to that list. It's a list so great, I assume, not many of us would be able to hang on. We'd probably just call it a day after the very first affliction. Maybe the really good ones of us, the best ones among us, would be able to make it to the second, but none of us would last much longer. Listen here, Paul, he endured afflictions and hardships and calamities and beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger, through dishonor, slander, being treated as an impostor and stranger, in dying and death, punishment and sorrow, poor and destitute, in all of these things and many more, Paul has endured for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of those at Corinth, for the sake of the sinner. Now, maybe this leaves a bad taste in your mouth. It does mine, just a little bit, because it almost sounds as if Paul, right there, is being a little bit pompous. And as we learn from Jesus' own words in our gospel reading of Matthew today, being boastful is usually frowned upon in the church. But chances are we're probably wrong about this. Instead of seeing Paul as a braggart, perhaps we should just hear his words in the light of a costly suffering. Jesus tells us that whoever would follow him must first take up his cross. Paul does this. He takes up his cross, which is probably one of the heavier ones in the history of mankind, save for that one that Jesus our Lord bore. Paul takes up his cross, knowing that with the proclamation of the gospel comes a necessary hatred from the world. But Paul joyfully endures all of these things, not for himself, not as a badge of honor, and certainly not as his ticket into heaven. He knows that salvation comes by hearing the word of God, that it is by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul doesn't boast that he's earned salvation through his works or through all of his sufferings. He doesn't boast so that we can sit here on Ash Wednesday and say, what a great man, what a great Christian that Paul was. And he doesn't boast so that we can all have a great example to emulate, so that we too one day could be seen on that same pedestal as Paul. Instead, Paul just boasts only in the cross and in Jesus Christ. In the cross, in that weak and pitiful and silly and foolish little cross that brings salvation to all. Paul joyfully endures all these things for the sake of proclaiming the cross of Christ to anyone and everyone that he meets. He suffers all of these things for the sake of the Corinthians, for the sake of you as well, so that you might know now that Jesus is for you. Today we begin the season of Lent. This, above all other seasons in the church year, is a penitential one. We are called to be returned to God once again, to be turned of our evil ways, to be repented, to be reconciled back to God. We are called to look at the things in our life daily, the ones that constantly pull us and drag us and lead us away from our Lord. We're called to turn our hearts, not just our outward actions, but our inward inclinations back to God. We are called to recognize, maybe even with ashes on our foreheads, that we are poor, miserable sinners with no merit or worthiness in and of ourselves. And as sinners, we are called to sit in sackcloth and ashes, just like the people of Nineveh, which is nothing more to say than to sit with the understanding that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment for the things that we have done and all of the things that we have left undone. And taking his lead from God himself, Paul isn't trying to get us to be better people. The purpose of Lent isn't to be better people, or do more good works, or to outwardly show how great of a Christian you are. The season of Lent is the turning of our heart. For as our introit said, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Our God doesn't need our good works. And he certainly isn't looking for a list of how we can become a better person over these next 6 weeks of Lent. In fact, I would dare say that he despises such a thing. What he wants is a broken heart, a heart that knows and understands that apart from him, it is lost, completely and utterly, temporally and eternally, lost and condemned. This is the only thing that God wants to see. This is the only thing that Paul encourages us to produce in these 40 days of Lent. And this sort of recognition, this sort of repentance, oddly enough, comes only from God. Even this is a wonderful gift from our Lord, a gift given to the sinner, because the sinner can't repent himself, but must be turned. And then we're to be reconciled to God. But here too we should notice the passiveness of this phrase. Paul doesn't implore us to reconcile ourselves back to God. That would be impossible. It wouldn't matter how long the list of do's and don'ts, of be betters and work harders actually was. It wouldn't be enough. We wouldn't be enough either. If reconciliation were up to us, then the entirety of Lent, the entirety of the Christian life, would be one of doing good works in order to appease God and maybe help us inch our way back to him. But that's not repentance. And that's not reconciliation. That's not Lent. Instead, Paul, well, actually Christ, through Paul, implores you to be reconciled to God. That is, he implores you to receive the gifts of Jesus Christ for your salvation. For Jesus is the only way in which we poor, miserable sinners will ever be reconciled back to God. And the gifts of Christ are the gifts of the cross, watered and spoken and given and shed. Receive these, Paul says. Receive these gifts given out freely from your heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, whom the Father sent forth to the cross in order to take on your sin, in order to be sin, so that in him you might, so that you will, so that you are the righteousness of God. The season of Lent is about the cross and your need for it. It's about your heart turned from evil and sin, repented by the law of the Lord, and then that same heart reconciled back to your God through the proclamation and the reception of the gospel. Lent is about sins confessed and sins forgiven. It's about a daily drowning of your old self in the waters of your baptism. It's about the body of Jesus Christ broken on the cross and given to you. It's about his blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out from his veins, shed for you. Lent is about ashes on your forehead right now, and then wiped away clean by the time you head home. Because you are a forgiven child of God, washed and clean from all of your sins. Lent is about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. Jesus for you, today and tomorrow and every day, turning your hearts, repenting you, and reconciling you back to God. In the name of Jesus.